I am happy today to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. It's my privilege to welcome you today, and I hope that you will stay tuned to our program. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today we'll have not only the spoken word, but we'll also have some music, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment or two. Please stay tuned. I'm sure that you're going to receive a rich, rich blessing from today's message. We begin a two-part series today on the value of family. This is going to be the value of family part one, program number 235 in our series. Before the message begins, here is some music. This is entitled Remember Me.
If a lonely soul
That's music by Wintley Phipps. The song is entitled Remember Me, and it's from the release that's entitled Lord, You Are My Music. You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, and my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host today. We're going to begin our message now, the message part one of the title, The Value of Family. This is message number 235 in our series. Stay tuned, because at the end of the message, I'm going to give you some information on how you may obtain an audio copy of this message. But just now, let's go to the sanctuary where the message is beginning.
The value of family. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt that we are living in an age when all around us, families are falling apart. The enemy has made families the special target of his hatred and deception. In 1970, 30 years ago, more than 70% of American households were comprised of married couples building a family. Today, it's not even 50%. And in some communities in this country, 90% of the children who live in these communities have never even seen a family. In some communities, 90% of the children are in a home headed by a single parent. We who love God must accept the responsibility to work to maintain the sanctity and dignity of the family. We must build our own families where God is welcome, where angels are present. You see, the devil knows that if he can undermine the family, he can undermine the very foundation of Earth's society. I believe unequivocally that it is God's general will, generally speaking. You know, God has a permissive will. You know that. In other words, God allows some things to happen that are not part of his original will. Are you listening to me? God has a permissive will. He allows some things to happen because he knows he's got the power to make it work for your good.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes.
That's how powerful God is. I believe that unequivocally it is God's general will that children be raised by a loving mom.
That's right.
And a caring dad.
Yes, sir.
In a healthy relationship.
Amen.
I believe that what God wanted for his own son, he wants for every child. I don't believe God would want something for his son that he didn't want for yours and for mine. Jesus could have been raised by a single mother, put away by an embarrassed father. But that was not God's best will for his son. And it was not his will for your son. That son of yours needs a loving father. That daughter needs a daddy who cares. But all throughout history, God has seen to it that many children who do not have two parents are raised by one parent to be happy, healthy, and wise. It's called grace. God can see to it that a child reared in circumstances that are less than ideal can still achieve nobility and greatness. Any of you here today who were adopted as children, there are people in this congregation who never knew their mother or father. You were adopted. Well, I want you to know God has the ability to take children reared in any circumstance and make them great.
Amen.
Moses was adopted. Think about it. And yet God gave him the law. Moses was adopted and he turned out pretty good. From a baby, Moses did not even know who his real father and mother were. But God blessed Moses, and God will bless you who have been adopted. All throughout history, God has reserved, and I love this, some of his greatest miracles for children growing up in less than ideal circumstances. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest miracles God performed in Scripture, he performed it for a single mom. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. You'll see it there. One of the greatest miracles in the Scriptures was performed for a single mother. Any single mother out here needs a miracle? Is there a single mother out here who needs a miracle? I want you to know some of the greatest miracles have been performed for single moms. 1 Kings 17, 8, and the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." He rose, went to Zarephath, came to the gate of the city. The widow woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her, said, "Fetch me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, some bread, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have even a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil." Oh, are you listening to me? Any single mom been struggling out here? I said, is there a single mother who's been struggling out here today? Look at what God did for this single mother. Hallelujah. "Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me." Whoa. I don't have anything to eat except a little something to eat and go and die. Yes. And you're saying, feed you first. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and" what? "Her house did eat many days." Oh, but look on down to verse 19. Verse 18, "She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" Chapter 17, verse 18. "Art thou come to call?" Because look at verse 17. "It came to pass," verse 17, "after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell" what? "Sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him." He died. He what? Died. The child of this single mother, widow, died. "And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. Took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying a son?" And then verse 21, "He stretched himself upon the child," how many times? Three times, "and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again." And what? And he did what? Revived. Great miracle for a single mom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Over the past 3 decades, the most popular images of family that have impacted our culture and society have been parodies, comedies, and caricatures. These images have been popular largely in part because of the pervasive power of the media. God's saying, take your time.
All right, yes, sir.
In many communities, the names of real-life legendary families, American families, have been eclipsed by names like the Huxtables, the Jeffersons, the Waltons, the Bunkers.
Yes.
It's sad, but it's true. But for the most part, these shows have been the only window many Americans have had into the homes, neighborhoods, and lives of families of other races, colors, and cultures. Because we as a nation, as Dr. Billy Graham said, became a neighborhood without becoming a brotherhood.
Lord have mercy.
And because in large part, we don't associate on a family level with people who don't look like ourselves, these television shows became for many of us the only glimpse we have had into the lives of families of another culture, another color, and another race. In many instances, those images have been instructive, informative, and enlightening. In other instances, while poking fun, they reinforce quietly held stereotypes. Now, I loved All in the Family and Archie Bunker. Because I knew I'd never get invited to anybody's home like that. That was the only way I could see what went on in a home like that. And I can never forget the episode when Archie Bunker's home was being robbed by two black men, played by Cleavon Little and Desmond Wilson, two brothers from the hood. When they switched on the light in Archie's house, one of them took a sniff and exclaimed, "Wow, take a look at this dump. The paint's peeling, the wallpaper's falling off, but they all have that fancy colored TV sitting right in the middle of it." It was, of course, applying a stereotype of themselves. You understand? To another family that they had never had the privilege of seeing how they lived. For better or worse, these TV families are families who have helped to shape our vision of domestic tranquility, and it's happened for over 30 years like that. Friends, there is a law operating in our human nature which says, by beholding, we are changed. And if all we see is what we know, it stands to reason that in large part, we will become like what we see. An anonymous writer once penned these words, if a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. You become like what you see. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with jealousy, he learns to hate. If a child lives with self-pity, he learns to be sorry for himself. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns self-confidence and integrity. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to love. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with honesty, he learns what truth is. If a child lives with friendliness, he learns that the world is a nice place in which to live.
Yes, sir.
And from the dawn of creation and the birth of the very first family, God has looked for not just individuals he could bless,
yes,
but entire families that he could bless.
Amen.
The Bible has captured for us the blessings God places upon families. In the eyes of God, a family is one of the greatest blessings he can bestow upon you. One of the greatest blessings he can bestow upon mankind is a family. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 127, verse 3. The book of Psalms, 127, verse 3. The Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is what? His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And look at chapter 28, verse 1. "Blessed is every everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and in it shall be well. It shall be what? Well with thee. Thy wife, hallelujah, shall be as a what? A fruitful vine. Oh, I like that. I said, I like that. By the sides of thine house, thy children like what? Olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed. So shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Amen. Now, because God's word hides none of our human frailties, and because we remember the negative about other people much longer than we remember the positive, the families in Scripture, their triumphs, successes, are often overshadowed by their failings and their failures. You think your family is dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wait till you read the histories of some of the families in the Bible.
Amen.
Makes your family look like the Waltons on Little House on the Prairie. The Bible is full of dysfunctional families. It is filled with illegitimate births, jealousies, people not speaking to each other for decades. You're mighty quiet, but it's in your family. It's filled with rape, murder, family members murdering each other, incest. Because God doesn't hide anything.
That's right.
Deception, stealing, stealing inheritances.
Mercy. That's right.
You know, when mama died, oh Lord, folks, everybody want to see the will, and folks trying to change the will.
My Lord. Mercy.
Stealing inheritances.
Jesus.
Brothers selling their youngest brother into slavery.
Help us, Lord.
And then making a violent cover-up, complete with fake blood, fake human blood to help a grieving father get closure.
My Lord.
And you think you had problems in your family. And I tell you, families can be, family reunions are wonderful, but some people don't need to go to family reunions. Because sometimes you really don't want to know just how you're connected to the family tree. You know I'm telling the truth. When some people say, I want to know the truth, you might not be able to handle the truth. Someone once said, a family tree is something you pay money to have it looked up, and then when you find out, you pay more money to have it hushed up. Now, God must have known that we would need principles to counteract the poor examples for families. We sure can't build on the family histories.
Come on now. Say so.
We need principles.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
We can't build on, I can't build on my immediate past examples in my family. I don't know of an uncle, brother, cousin, aunt, anybody that I can look up to and build on their example. God's word is full of principles that families need to live by and to build upon. But there are in the Bible some portrayals of families living in domestic tranquility. Jesus at the wedding feast. Oh, that must have been, wouldn't it have been nice to have been there just to see Jesus enjoying a wedding? Ruth and Boaz. I was down at Oakwood College in 1973. I looked up, I had my first Boaz moment. You know, Boaz saw Ruth gleaning in the fields, and I don't have my Bible, but the translation I read says that Boaz looked up and said, my Lord, who is that? I had my Boaz moment. So the Bible is full of examples of domestic tranquility.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today and just about to the end of our program also for today. I do hope that you enjoyed today's message, that you understood it, and that it has been a blessing to you. You will want to tune in for another program where we will finish this message, complete it. The Value of Family Part 2 will come up in another broadcast. But if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. You will want to ask for program number 235 today. That's program number 235, which will provide you with the title, The Value of Family, Part 1. Here at The More Abundant Life, we are always appreciative of your support through your prayers, your comments, and your financial contributions. Well, that's about all the time that we have for today. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr., wishing you the richest blessings that God can provide for us. I hope that you will join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life, but until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your